Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. Well, religion does make us very rich if we are satisfied with what we have. What did we bring into this world? Nothing. What can we take out of this world? Nothing. So then, if we have food and clothes, it should be enough for us. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and are caught in the trap of many foolish and harmful desires, which pull them down to ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a source of all kinds of evil. Some have been so eager to have it that they have wandered away from the faith and have broken their hearts with many sorrows.
Amen. And from that same chapter, a few verses down, the writer says, command those who are rich in the things of this life not to be proud, but to place their hope not in an uncertain thing as riches, but in God, who generously gives us everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share with others. In this way, they will store up for themselves a treasure which will be a solid foundation for the future. And then they will be able to win the life which is true life. Let us pray. Oh God, may the words proclaimed in this place and in every place this Lord's Day be filled with your power and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Time magazine called Stanley Hauerwas America's best theologian. I wouldn't want to argue with that. And I recall that one time Hauerwas, in one of his writings, said that a sermon should sometimes be frightening. That's not really what we expect to happen to us. We walk in the door on Sunday morning and we expect that we're going to walk out the same as we walked in, but that is not always the case. Sometimes something happens, a frightening thing happens. We see that our life is standing on sand and water, that the very infrastructure of our life is wrong, and that we don't need a new paint job, we don't need new windows, we need a whole new structure, a whole new life from the one that we brought in when we walked in those doors. I find a lot of the Bible frightening. Now, this book has 500 verses about prayer. And this same book has 2,000 verses about money. I find that rather frightening. Well, let's see what 1 Timothy says about this, not by getting into the more frightening part, but by the part that is strengthening. Let's take that step before we get to the frightening part. Timothy writes to the church, to his friends. The writer to Timothy says, he says, place your hope in God, who generously gives everything for our enjoyment. What a great verse. I find a lot of enjoyment going on in the New Testament. Almost every page there's some enjoyment going on. I think of that time in the Gospels where Jesus gathered all these people. He was teaching them. There were 5,000 of them, and it was getting dark, and the disciples started saying, "It's getting dark, send them into the towns to buy food." Jesus says, "You feed them." And they said, "We're going to feed them?" Yeah, there's a kid here, there's a lad, a boy, and in his basket they saw 2 fish and 5 biscuits. What is that among all of these people? But when Jesus took the little gift and blessed it and began sharing it among the 5,000, and they began sharing what they had, what a feast it was. Everybody had enough. When God's people are sharing with one another, when God blesses what the little we bring, there is always enough. And so everybody had all they wanted to eat. And then they took up the baskets, they took up, gathered the leftovers. And there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, I can just imagine the evening, the sun is going down, and all of this sharing is going on, and people are sharing and eating. Don't you think they were laughing joyously, uproariously? It was a church dinner that was just full of joy, full of laughter and grace. I find a lot of enjoyment going on in the New Testament, a lot of gifts. This generous God, who gives us everything for what? For our enjoyment. God delights in giving and delights even more when our gratitude overflows, when we receive with joy. God is filled with joy to be a giver when we are grateful for all of the blessings. Well, that's just the beginning of all the enjoyment. I mean, what about the time there was this man who couldn't walk? He was lame. He was on the side of the road, and Jesus healed him. And he didn't just stand up. He jumped up, praising God with a loud voice. What joy. Or there was a blind person, and Jesus restored his sight. And he started praising God so loud that the people in the other county were able to hear the sound of his praises. Or there was a crowd one day, and Jesus was walking through the crowd, and people were bumping into each other, and there was this woman, and she just reached out and touched the hem of his garment and was immediately healed. So much enjoyment, so much praise, so much thanksgiving. It's all through the New Testament. It's everywhere. So we have this God who loves to give. And our response is gratitude for gifts. Gift and gratitude. These two go together. They can never be separated. When God gives, we are grateful. We give thanks and praise. But not always well. Gratitude, for some reason, seems to have a short shelf life, doesn't it? As soon as we have the gift, it begins to become normal, and before we know it, we're now looking for the next fix. We move on to wanting more. And it seems like there's no end to that. Wanting more and more. It's called greed. It's listed among the seven deadly sins. These are the sins that will kill the soul. These are the sins that will prohibit us from living the full life that God wants us to have. This is the sin that keeps us from praise, from thanksgiving and joy. Gift and gratitude always go together. But gift and greed never come together. One will drive out the other. The greed will drive out the gratitude, or the gratitude will drive out the greed. They cannot exist together. And the other frightening thing, of course, is when it comes to these gifts and our praying for what we need, and we are invited to do that. Isn't that interesting? Jesus says, "You have not because you have not asked." What an invitation. Well, let's ask. Let's be asking for the good gifts. God, whatever you have to give me today that's good, beautiful, give it to me today. I'm ready to receive it. Well, the problem is, of course, if we name the gift too narrowly, we miss the mark because we have no idea what we need. I know you think you do. I know I think I do. But we have not the slightest idea. How many times have you wanted something, maybe even prayed for something, and then later on you said, "Oh God, thank you. Thank you that you did not give me that. Thank you that you did not lead me here. This would have been the worst possible thing that could have happened. You said no to my prayer. And that is not what I needed, even though I thought this is what I need." What we do, of course, is we look at what others have. Oh boy, that's a trap. To start looking at how much others have, and then compare it and say, "Gosh, I have so little compared to all that they have." We're copycats. Because we don't know what we need, we simply swallow what others seem to have or need or possess. We have the slightest idea. We are dependent upon God to take our prayers for what we need and make them the prayer that is appropriate, that will be for our good, that will bring blessing. I don't know if the name of Leo Tolstoy is one that you recognize. He wrote War and Peace and Anna Karenina and a lot of other things. And he also wrote a short story. It's almost like a novella. It's a long, short story. It's a story about a Russian peasant, farmer. His name was Pahom. And one day he was overhearing a conversation between his sister and his wife and his wife's sister. His wife's sister wasn't a peasant. She lived in the city. And so she was extolling all of the joys of being a city person, that she could go to the theater, she could go to the stores and the shops, she could do all these fine things. And Pahom was listening to that and was captured, seduced by greed. He decided that what he and his family needed was more land. If he just had more land. And so he began looking around to see where he would be able to find land, and he heard about this tribe, long distance away, that had wonderful land, and that they were always willing to sell their land for wonderful prices, bargain prices. So he made the trip. It was a 300-mile trip. It took him a week to get there. He discovered the tribe. They had a negotiation. They all sat around and they bargained for a price for land. And it was a good price, a minimal price. But here was the trick. He could have all the land he wanted for the price. He could start when the sun came up. He could take a shovel and go as far as he wanted and just shovel the marker where he wanted his land. And he could have all of the land that he could cover in one day's time. But here's the trick. He had to be back at the starting place by the time the sun went down. So when the sun came up, the tribe was gathered, and Pahom took his shovel, and he started out. Oh, it was good land. Oh, the land. It was so rich. Beautiful land. And he went further and further and further out. And then he looked up into the sky, and he saw that the sun was starting to go down, but he said, oh, but the land right here, this is such good land. Just a little more land. And then he looked up into the sky again, and now the sun was racing to its setting. And he began to run back to the starting place. He threw off his coat, he threw away his shovel. He ran as fast as he could run. And the sun kept dropping down, and he kept running faster and faster. And finally, he saw the tribe sitting up on a hill, and they were shouting, run faster, run faster. But there was one of them, the chief of the tribe, was holding his sides, laughing. It was the devil. And he was just laughing. He was laughing so much that the tears... No, I made that up. He was laughing so hard that the tears came down his cheeks. I made that up. But he was laughing. He was holding his sides. And Pahom continues to run to the very beginning of the place where he started the day. And he reached it just as the sun went down. And died. I didn't tell you the title of the short story, did I? Here's the title of the short story. How much land does a man need? And at the end of the story, we find out just 6 feet, just enough to be buried. An Irish novelist by the name of James Joyce said that was the greatest story ever written. Greed is our competitor to life. Greed drives out gratitude. Greed is the biggest liar that we will ever face. Greed will say to us, if you just had a little more, you could be happy. If you just had a little bit more, you would be more. You would be more worthy. If you just had a little bit more, why, you could sing that song from the musical, Annie, Easy Street. Be on Easy Street. If you just had a little bit more, you would be secure. You would be safe. All will be well. Generosity is that gift in which we receive and give thanks, in which we understand what it means to take hold of what God gives, for it will always be in the right proportion, and it will always be the gift that enriches. It is gratitude that enables us to live a full life. We cannot live a full life unless there's gratitude. Did you know that the word miser is connected to the word miserable? Full life is life of love, and we can't love if we're full of greed. If all of our time and all of our energy is just after more, we don't see each other, we can't love each other, we're blocked from the fullness of life. The fullness of life is a life of gratitude, of receiving what God gives and holding on to that with praise and thanksgiving, and keep holding and keep holding. God, this is good. God, this is just what I need. God, thank you. Forever and ever, thank you. There's a verse in John's Gospel where Jesus is remembered saying, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. In following the Christ and the God who is the giver of good gifts, there is that abundance. A couple of the translators have put it this way. I come that they may have life, three words, great, full life. See the play on words. I wish for you a great, full life. A grateful life, lived in the light and love of the God who loves to give. Amen.